If we have cancel culture today, is communism far behind? Scott Powell of the Discovery Institute wrote recently, quote, as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, who would have thought that America's dominant social media platforms such as Facebook, Google, YouTube, or Twitter would assault its host country's First Amendment rights by engaging in the silencing of a huge number of its users through censorship, cancellation, and deplatforming. Cancel culture right now is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Scott Powell, who wrote a book. He's written books too, but he wrote an article recently called Cancel Culture, Its Origins and Implications for America. Scott, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you.
I'm glad to be with you, Jerry.
Good. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Scott, first of all, for those who've been living in a cave for the last couple of years, what is cancel culture?
Well, cancel culture is a phenomena that comes from the left side of the political spectrum, and it seeks to silence differing views. And of course, this is entirely contrary to our Constitution and to our understanding of how progress is made. Because if you don't have competing ideas, how do you arrive at the best solutions? No one has a majority or a dominant position on the best ideas.
You know, it's interesting. I've been saving headlines related to the whole issue of cancel culture and so forth. And I saw one thing today where it says, okay, now Dr. Seuss, the writings of Dr. Seuss are being canceled, or they wanted to cancel it because of supposedly racism. William Shakespeare is being canceled by some of the schools because the teachers don't want to have him being taught anymore. And I even saw a headline. I'm not kidding you. It said, Harvard University cancels seminar, you know, that was coming up on cancel culture. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, unfortunately, it's not a funny matter, because cancel culture is alive and well and perhaps even growing in its influence. And so I think it's important for people to understand where it comes from. It certainly is a foreign idea, a foreign paradigm, a foreign approach to how people should interact and how people should learn and grow and accumulate knowledge. It is totally foreign to the American way of life.
Yeah, I mean, our Constitution says in the First Amendment that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You know, freedom of religion, that was the first right. But then it goes on to say, nor should there be an abridgment of free speech. And so we have it actually enshrined in our governing document, theoretically our governing document. But cancel culture seems to run contrary to the First Amendment, wouldn't you say?
It certainly does. It certainly does. But even putting aside that, you know, the First Amendment of the Constitution, and I wouldn't put it aside. In fact, it is the Constitution that really is the bulwark against, you know, a sort of creeping totalitarianism. We already have, to some extent, a sort of totalitarianism in our culture, and cancel culture is part of that. It is cancel culture seeks to control information, to control ideas. You can see it very clearly operating with regard to the controversies of our election in November. As information has come out, as we've observed from many different sources, from everything from mail-in ballots and the changing of the rules to big data analysis showing very clearly that there were voting irregularities, cancel culture has sought to stifle and end any discussion about fraudulent elections. So who does that benefit? Does that benefit, the whole country? Does it benefit democracy? No, it benefits the party that won the election and may have won it fraudulently. And those countries, we can see what, what fraudulent elections have done in other countries such as Venezuela, the Philippines, many other places. Once you have fraudulent elections, then the dominant party never gives up the means to keep its power. And this is very alarming for Americans. You know, we have a competition of ideas, competition of parties, competition of products. This is how we progress. This is how we learn and we grow as a nation. So this cancel culture has played a very big role in absolutely shutting down any debate about voting irregularities in November.
Yeah, and it's really an amazing thing. I mean, for example, Twitter cut off President Trump in the last few days of his office, despite his, 89 million followers or something like that on Twitter.
Right, right.
No, it was very phenomenal.
It's very, very disturbing that we would have dominant social media platforms trying to control the flow of information. This is what's done in totalitarian communist regimes. This is not what is done in America. This is America. We're free.
Yeah.
And social media, we couldn't have foreseen how it would take such a dominant role in the flow of information and the flow of news when these institutions were established. I mean, Google was established, I think, in 2000. It went public, in 2003. Twitter came after that. Facebook came, I think Facebook came as late as, 2010, 11, 12? I can't remember for sure.
I don't remember.
But nobody could have foreseen that these platforms would control the news flow in America.
Right.
And
yeah.
So news, it is so important that we have reporting of the news from all sides, because that's how we get informed, particularly with regard to corruption.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest challenge we have in America is political corruption. And it always has been, but even more so now than ever before, because the political corruption is not just a party thing within the United States. Political corruption is encroachment from the Communist Party of China, which spends billions of dollars to influence our thinking, our legislation, our business. You know, they seek to steal secrets, trade secrets, patents. You know, and their success has led to their growing military prowess. Much of what they have in technology has been stolen from us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's another subject. But
sure.
I'm just saying that the cancel culture is benefiting the Communist Party of Chinese.
Well, you know, it's funny. Yeah.
They want to silence all debate. They like the fact that Joe Biden is in office because of his family ties, his family corruption that leads all the way back to China.
Yeah. And it's really scary. I mean, this whole thing is unbelievable. But your article shows a lot about, or talks a lot about communism. The first regime, though, you did mention was the French Revolution, which predates Karl Marx, of course. But how was cancel culture, in effect, on display in the French Revolution?
Well, you know, Robespierre, and you know, is well known for the Reign of Terror, but part of what he did was to destroy the church. And traditionally, the church has always been standing for the truth, standing for morality, standing for those Christian virtues that are so important to a civil society. And that includes tolerance of people who don't think like you do, who don't share the same ideas. So tolerance is so important for a civil society. And Robespierre wanted to shut down the church so that they could rule without any respect for common sense and morality.
And then, they ended up killing all those people. And then fast forwarding, let's say, to the Bolshevik Revolution, 1917, How did the early communists put cancel culture, you know, into, in effect, codify it in the Russian Revolution?
The first thing that Lenin did was to destroy the church and to promote atheism. That's the first thing that he did. Well, one might say before that, he quickly tore down all of the historic monuments and statues to the predecessor regimes, which were czarist regimes. He wanted to remake everything. He wanted to start anew. He wanted to create a Soviet man. The next step was to destroy the church. And he did that. He accomplished that. And then, you know, he had help from Trotsky, and Lenin was not in good health. He died in 1924, and Stalin took over, and Trotsky was still part of the communist system. But when Stalin decided that Trotsky was no longer could be a threat to him, what did he do? He not only canceled him, he had him assassinated.
Yes. Took a while, too, by the way. He had to chase him to the ends of the earth.
He had to chase him all the way into Mexico City.
Right.
And it's really incredible that American people don't understand these things.
Yeah.
And the pattern of communism has been the same wherever it has been imposed. And I say imposed because generally people have not chosen communism.
Right.
It's been imposed through vote fraud in the case of Venezuela. It's been imposed by revolution, by military force.
Violence. Absolutely.
Violence.
Yeah, you know, going back to Trotsky, though, Trotsky gives a good example of cancel culture in terms of even photographs of Trotsky. Comment about that.
Right. You know, when Stalin saw that Trotsky could be a threat to him, he wanted to, first of all, cancel that he ever had even existed. You know, destroy the historical records of Trotsky's existence. So he set up a team of people that expunged his photos, his official photos, his state photos were all destroyed, all remade through airbrushing and the photographic techniques, so that he was just, if he was in a lineup of people, and maybe Trotsky was in the middle, they found a way to sort of get rid of Trotsky and sandwich him together.
Yeah,
yes. It was
amazing.
Amazing feat, but it was largely accomplished. So, you know, and that's what is going on in the United States. They want to cancel, not only do they want to cancel Donald Trump, they want to cancel all of his followers.
Yep.
You know, there's been discussion of even, you know, a reprogramming or a what are the terms? I've heard different terms about, you know, how.
Well, we need to take names. AOC said that we need to, you know, keep these people on registers. They're on record for having, right, you know, having these barbaric policies that Trump supported. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting example of this, is that during the Obama administration, there were kids crossing the border that were separated from the families and basically in cages. Then,
right.
But the media called it something else. Then the Trump continued with the same policy, only he got crucified for it in the press. Now Biden is returning with the same basic policy, same basic practices, but they're calling it migrant detention centers or something like that. So it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is awful. But it shows you the media is part of the problem. We have about 40 seconds left. The media is a major part of cancel culture. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The media is utterly corrupt. Cancel culture is a corrupting force, and American people should just stand up and say no. We have to be tolerant of all ideas, and we want to have a competition of ideas because the best ideas will ultimately rise to the top.
Yes.
If we have open and free and fair debate.
All right. Well, I've got a link to your article right here for this. So thank you so much for writing this, Scott. Discovery.org for more information. Scott Powell. Thanks, Scott. All the best.
Very good. Thanks, Jerry.